Stories of Journey to the West, Chapter 18.
The Chinese epic Journey to the West. Okay, so let's set the scene a bit. We've got the Tang monk, Tang Sanzang, heading west for Buddhist scriptures. Super important mission.
Crucial. And with him is his, well, let's just say very capable disciple, Sun Wukong, the Monkey King.
Right. And they've just got through a bit of a sticky situation. Their special cassock, the religious robe, was stolen.
Yeah. But thankfully, Guanyin Bodhisattva helped out. Big figure, compassion, wisdom.
And they got it back. So clear skies ahead now.
Maybe not quite.
Okay, so what's the next hurdle?
Well, there's definitely a new challenge waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say there are some surprises, and it looks like a job tailor-made for Wukong's unique skills.
All right. The cassock's back. Must have been a huge relief. What happens immediately after?
Oh, totally. Tang Sanzang is, like, overjoyed to get this important robe back. And the other monks with them, they're thrilled too, probably feeling safer, you know, more focused on the journey again.
But they can't just celebrate forever, right? Back to the practical stuff.
Exactly. Back to reality. They've got to get the horse ready, pack up the luggage, and hit the road again.
It's not all just packing, though, is it? The writing paints a bit of a picture here.
It really does. We get this lovely description of springtime. You can almost feel the soft ground under the horse's hooves.
Mm.
See the willow branches swaying like golden threads, peach trees, apricot trees, all in bloom, vines everywhere. It's this real sense of life, of renewal.
Nice contrast. Sets a peaceful mood.
Yeah, it really does. But it's almost too peaceful, you know, like the calm before the storm. It emphasizes that journeys have these quiet moments right before things get, well, complicated.
So how long does this peaceful travel last?
The text says about maybe 5 to 7 days. Mm-hmm. They're crossing some fairly plain ground. And then one evening, just as it's getting dark,
they see something.
Yeah, a village up ahead. And Tang Sanzang, always thinking practically about shelter, he suggests, okay, let's find somewhere to stay for the night. Rest up, travel again in the morning.
Seems sensible. But Wukong, he's not usually the type to just wander into a new place without checking it out first, is he?
You know him well?
Yep.
Nope. Always cautious. He insists, I'm going ahead to scout. Wants to see what the village is like, who's there, make sure it's safe before they all go in.
Smart move, given their track record.
Definitely. Yeah, especially after everything they've been through already.
So what does he see? What's his first impression of this village?
Well, at first glance, it looks pretty inviting, actually. The description mentions, like, dense bamboo fences, thatched houses, all clustered together.
Okay.
Tall trees, a little stream with a bridge. Willows along the bank, flowers smelling nice, birds heading off to roost, you know, cozy.
Sounds nice. Signs of life.
Yeah, smoke from cooking fires, animals being brought in for the night, some already asleep. They even hear an old man singing somewhere. It seems pretty normal, pretty peaceful.
Like a good spot to rest. Wukong thinks so.
Yeah, based on all that, he figures it seems like a good village. Somewhere they can probably get lodging without any trouble, but well.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Things aren't always what they seem, are they?
No.
This nice scene is about to get interrupted.
Okay, what happens? Who disrupts the peace?
So, just as they're getting ready to actually enter the village, they see this young guy rushing out of the village, heading towards them. Looks like he's in a massive hurry.
How does he look?
The text gives details. He's got a cloth wrapped around his head, blue jacket carrying an umbrella, backpack, leggings tied up, straw, sandals. Definitely looks like he's on a mission. Urgent.
And Wukong being Wukong.
Yep. No subtlety. Just reaches out and grabs the poor guy.
Just like that.
Just like that. Wants to know where he's going in such a rush, what this place is. And the young man, not happy. Not happy at all.
I can imagine. Suddenly grabbed by this unusual looking stranger.
Exactly. He struggles, starts complaining loudly. Let me go. I'm in a hurry. I've got important business.
Does it escalate?
Oh, yeah. Wukong keeps holding on, keeps asking questions. The young man gets more and more frustrated. He starts ranting about his troubles back home. And now he's run into this bald head.
Ouch. Referring to Wukong.
Clearly. Saying Wukong's just adding to his problems, making him late.
How does Wukong take being called a bald head?
Doesn't seem too bothered, actually. He sort of challenges the guy like, oh, yeah, try and get away then. But the man struggles with all his might, can't break Wukong's grip.
Still holding him.
Yep. And the guy gets so mad, he drops his stuff, the backpack, the umbrella, and then just tries to start punching Wukong.
That's probably not going to end well for him.
Not a chance. Wukong just easily holds him off with one hand while still holding the luggage in the other. Effortless.
Wow.
Right about then, Tang Sanzang steps in. you know, the calm voice. He suggests maybe just have someone else, Wukong, trying to smooth things over.
Good idea. Does Wukong listen?
Nope. He gives his kind of cryptic answer back to his master, something like, no, asking this guy is necessary for our business.
Business. Okay, that's intriguing. Wukong senses something more here.
Exactly. More than just finding a place to sleep.
So does the young man finally spill the beans, since he clearly can't get away?
Yeah, he eventually gives up trying to fight. He tells them where they are, Wu Suzang territory. And the village is Gao Village, or Gao Lao Shuang.
Gao Village, okay.
Says lots of people there have the surname Gao. Makes sense. Then he begs Wukong again, please, just let me go.
But Wukong's not done interrogating him, is he?
Not yet. He keeps pressing him. Where are you going in such a rush? Finally, the man breaks down and tells them everything. His name's Gao Kai. He's a servant for the local bigwig, Master Gao. Gao Taigong.
Okay, Gao Kai, servant to Master Gao. So what's the urgent problem? What's the rush?
This is where it gets wild. Master Gao has a daughter. She's about 20, unmarried. And 3 years ago, she was basically taken by a demon.
Whoa, a demon.
Yeah. And get this, the demon has basically installed himself as Master Gao's son-in-law for the last 3 years.
A demon's son-in-law? You're kidding.
Nope. And Master Gao is miserable about it. Totally shamed, socially embarrassed, family life completely disrupted. He desperately wants this demon gone.
I would think so. Can't he just kick him out?
Apparently not. The demon won't leave. And worse, for the last 6 months, he's locked the daughter away in the back of the house.
Locked her away?
Yeah, no contact with the family at all. They're terrified, worried sick about her. Is she okay? Is she even alive?
That's awful. So Gao Kai's mission.
Master Gao gave him some silver and sent him out to find a sorcerer, an exorcist, someone powerful enough to get rid of this demon son-in-law.
Ah, so Gao Kai is on a quest himself. Has he found anyone?
No luck so far. He admits he's hired people before, mentioned some monks and Taoists, but they were useless. Couldn't do anything against the demon.
So he failed before.
Yep. And his master gave him a really hard time about it, called him useless too. But Master Gao is desperate, so he gave Gao Kai more money, another 5 silver coins, and told him, go find someone who can actually do this.
Man, poor Gao Kai. Talk about pressure. And then he runs smack into Wukong.
Exactly. He even calls Wukong a troublesome star for stopping him, delaying him. Probably going to get him yelled at again by his master. He's just completely stressed out.
But Wukong, he probably sees this differently, right? Not as a problem, but as...
an opportunity. That's Wukong. He literally says, this sounds like a business that fits perfectly. He tells Gao Kai straight up, you don't need to go any further. Stop wasting your master's money.
Always ready to jump in. So he offers their services.
Absolutely. He basically says, we're the guys you're looking for. We're real demon slayers, not like those other failures. He frames it like it's good for everyone. They help Gao Kai solve the problem, and they get to show off their skills.
Wukong's version of a win-win. So what's the plan he lays out?
He tells Gao Kai, go back to your master. Tell him we're messengers from the great Tang Dynasty.
Laying it on thick.
Traveling west for scriptures. And here's the important part. Tell him we're experts at catching demons and dealing with evil spirits.
Does Gao Kai buy it? After all the duds he hired before, he must be skeptical.
Oh, definitely. He's worried. Like, what if you guys fail too? I'll be in even more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's hesitant.
But Wukong's confidence probably wins him over.
Wukong just reassures him, super confident. Don't worry about it. We've got this. Basically steamrolls his doubts.
Okay, so what happens next?
Wukong just tells him, all right, lead the way. Take us to your master's house.
Mm.
And Gao Kai, probably feeling like he has no other option, agrees.
So off they go to meet Master Gao. How does that go down, the initial meeting?
Well, Gao Kai leads them to the gate, tells them to wait outside for a minute near the horse while he goes in.
Okay.
He finds Master Gao inside, and the old man immediately starts chewing him out. You're back already. Didn't find anyone, did you?
Just as Gao Kai feared, but then he mentions the monks.
Right. As soon as Gao Kai explains, no, I met these monks from the east, and they say they can handle the demon, Master Gao's tune changes completely.
Suddenly interested.
Very. He quickly puts on some nicer clothes, hurries out with Gao Kai, calling out Elder, very respectfully, to Tang Senzang.
What does this Master Gao look like?
The description's pretty detailed. He's got a black silk turban, a fancy white silk robe, leather boots, a black belt, comes out smiling, greets Tang Senzang very formally.
Very proper. And Wukong, is he playing along with the formalities?
Not a chance. Tang Senzang bows back politely, but Wukong, he just stands there, stock still. And then he actually tells the old man, hey, greet me too.
Oh, Wukong, seriously. How does Master Gao react to that? and to Wukong's appearance.
He's totally thrown, clearly startled by how Wukong looks, calls him fierce and ugly later, compares him to a thunder god.
Yeah.
And his first thought is basically, oh, great, I've got one monster son-in-law. Am I about to get another one?
Poor Master Gao. What's Wukong's response to being seen as another monster?
Wukong fires right back.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold back at all. He tells him off for judging by looks. Says something like, yeah, I might look rough, but I'm the one who can actually catch your demon, beat the evil spirits, get your daughter back safe and sound. That's good for you, so stop worrying about how I look.
Tells him straight. Does Master Gao let them in after that?
Yeah, but kind of reluctantly. Still seems a bit scared. He invites them in. Wukong, he just walks in, ties the horse right there to a pillar in the main hall.
In the main hall.
Yep. No ceremony. Pulls up a fancy chair for Tang Sanzang, grabs another one for himself, and plonks down right next to his master. Like he owns the place.
Making himself comfortable. What does Master Gao think of this?
He sort of remarks on it like, wow, this little elder makes himself right at home. And Wukong just jokes back, hey, let me stay here for 6 months. I'll really feel at home.
Okay, so they're inside. Does the conversation shift to the actual problem now? The demon.
It does. Master Gao starts formally, asks where they're from, why they're traveling. Tang Sanzang explains the mission west for scriptures, emperor's orders, need a place to stay overnight.
Standard polite intro. How does the demon topic come back up?
Master Gao is obviously still fixated on it.
Mm-hmm.
He basically says, lodging is fine, but how can guests possibly help with, you know, monsters?
Fair question from his perspective.
And Wukong just jumps in, super casual, almost laughing. Says something like, oh, catching demons, that's just what we do for fun on the side, and gets right to it. So how many demons you got here anyway?
Just the one, thankfully. But one is clearly enough.
Master Gao practically cries out, just one. But he's my son-in-law, and he's driving me absolutely crazy. Then he spills the whole story. How the demon showed up, how he acted at first.
What was he like initially, when he first arrived?
Well, Master Gao says he showed up looking like a pretty normal, handsome guy. Said he was from Fuling Mountain, surnamed Zhu. No parents, no siblings, willing to marry into the family and live there.
And Master Gao agreed.
Yeah, thought he seemed okay, unattached, capable. So he let him marry his daughter.
And was he okay at first? As a son-in-law?
Master Guy says, yeah. Surprisingly diligent. Worked the fields like crazy. Didn't need an ox or tools. Just did it all himself. Farmed from dawn till dusk. Master Guy was actually quite pleased with him initially.
But then the appearance changed. That's when it got weird, right?
Exactly. That's when things went south. Master Guy describes the transformation. First, he was just sort of a dark, chubby guy. But then he started changing. Got this long snout. Big floppy ears, coarse hair growing on the back of his head, rough, bristly body. Basically started looking more and more like, well, a pig.
A pig demon, literally. Yeah. Wow. Did his behavior change too, besides the looks?
Well, his appetite definitely did. Master Gao complains he eats a ton, like 3 to 5 pecks of rice per meal.
Yeah.
Needs 100 pancakes just for breakfast.
Good grief.
But Master Gao does add, almost thankfully, that at least he's vegetarian. Says he shudders to think how fast the food would disappear if the demon ate meat and drank wine, too.
Small mercies, I guess. So, pig face, huge appetite, anything else? Other demonic traits?
Oh, yeah. He can control the weather, apparently. Master Guy says he conjures up wind and sand, stirs things up, scares the family and the neighbors. But the worst part, the thing really upsetting Master Gao.
The daughter being locked up.
Exactly. His youngest daughter, Quilin. Locked away in the back rooms for 6 months now. No contact. They don't even know if she's okay. It's tearing the family apart.
That's the core of it then, getting his daughter back safely.
Absolutely. He repeats it. I just want him gone. I want my daughter back. Hearing all this, Wukong just confidently promises, don't worry, I'll catch him tonight. We'll get a divorce document sorted.
A divorce document for a demon.
Apparently.
Yeah.
And I'll bring your daughter back to you.
Bold promise. How does Master Gao react to that?
He's ecstatic, overjoyed, suddenly full of hope again. He goes on about how much shame this whole thing has brought on the family, ruined relationships with relatives. He says he doesn't even really care about the divorce paper itself anymore. Just get rid of him permanently. Get my daughter back. He's desperate.
Understandable.
And Wukong just doubles down. Yep. It'll all be sorted out tonight. Guaranteed.
Okay. Wukong's ready to go. What are the next steps? Preparations.
Master Gao is so happy, he immediately tells his servants, set up the tables, bring out the best vegetarian food. They have a big meal to thank the travelers.
Nice gesture.
Then, after they eat, as it's getting dark, Master Gao gets practical. Asks Wukong, Okay, what weapons do you need? How many men should go with you?
And Wukong's response is probably predictable.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm good. Got my own weapon. Doesn't need any help.
But Master Gao looks at Tang Sanzang's simple monk staff.
Right, and he's skeptical. Like, you're going to fight a demon with that? He clearly doubts it's up to the job.
Time for a Wukong demonstration.
You bet. Wukong gets that twinkle in his eye, reaches into his ear, pulls out what looks like a tiny little sewing needle.
His magic staff?
Exactly. Holds it, gives it a flick, and bam! It turns into the massive Ri Jingu Bang. Huge golden-banded staff, thick as a bucket. Then he just casually asks Master Gao, "Reckon this'll do the trick."
I imagine Master Gao is convinced now.
Completely speechless.
Yeah.
Just staring in awe at this incredible weapon. Wukong then says again, "See? Don't need any help."
So no backup needed. What does he ask for?
Just one thing. Asks Master Gao to get a few respected village elders to come over and keep Tan Sanzang company while he's gone. You know, make sure his master is safe and comfortable.
Okay, so what's the actual plan? Go fight the demon alone.
Seems like it. He says he's going to catch the demon, bring him back, question him in front of everyone, get a confession, and then, you know, deal with the situation, settle things once and for all.
Sounds like a plan. Does Master Gao agree?
Absolutely. He immediately calls for his household staff and some trusted friends and neighbors to come over. They arrive, greet everyone politely.
And Wukong?
Wukong just gives a confident nod to Tang Sanzang, basically says, "See you later," and heads off into the night to find this pink demon and sort out the Gao family's mess. Total confidence, you know?
Classic Wukong. So does he just charge in?
Well, no, not exactly. His first interaction is with old Gao, the father. And it's kind of funny, actually.
Oh, yeah. How so?
He pretends he needs a key to get into the back residence where the monster stays with the daughter.
Pretends?
Yeah. Because, like, a second later, he just takes out his iron staff.
The super powerful magic staff.
Right. And just smashes the copper lock.
Yeah.
No key needed.
So, a bit of trickery first, then bam, brute force when needed. That's very him.
It shows he's thinking tactically, right? He wants to get in, see what's what. The lock is just, you know, a minor obstacle.
So he gets in, and then...
when he has old Gao call for his daughter, the Hapuan sister.
And she answers.
She does, but her voice is really weak. "Father, I'm here." It immediately tells you something's wrong. She's been affected by this situation.
You can sense the toll it's taken.
Absolutely. And Wukong, using his special flashing golden eyes, gets a good look at her, even in the dark.
What does he see?
The description is pretty intense. Her hair's a mess, face unwashed.
Wow, vivid.
But
good stuff.
Her inner purity, her sort of orchid heart, is still there, even though her beauty has faded and she looks weak, pale. He speaks softly. It's quite poignant.
So she's suffering, but still fundamentally good inside.
Exactly. And seeing her father, she just bursts into tears. Understandable, right?
Totally. What does Wukong do?
He's all business. Calms her down quickly and asks the main question. Mihifibisya 3.
Where'd the monster go?
Straight to the point. Did she know?
Yeah, she gives him some key intel. The monster leaves at dawn, comes back at night, usually hidden by mist or wind. Very unpredictable movements. Sneaky.
And crucially, she says the monster knows her father wants him gone, so he's become cautious. He's not just some dumb brute.
Okay, so the monster's got some awareness, some cunning. That changes things.
It does. So Wukong comes up on the plan. He tells old Gao, "Take your daughter back to the front house, the troll.
Get her out of the danger zone."
Right. "I'll wait here in the back residence to Dina for the demon." And he promises to fix the problem permanently. Cut the grass and pull out the roots.
No half measures. So Wukong sets a trap.
Pretty much. He uses his magic, transforms himself to look exactly like the daughter, and just waits in the room.
Oh, this is going to be good. What happens when the monster shows up?
Well, the arrival is big. A huge gust of wind hits the place.
Oh,
stones flying, sand scattering everywhere.
Seriously, powerful entrance.
The text goes into detail about the wind's force. It's not just wind. It's like supernatural force.
Yeah.
Damaging nature, buildings. "Wet, yeah," it said, "stirring up rivers and seas, making ghosts and gods worry."
Okay, so this monster packs a punch, or at least makes an entrance like he does.
Definitely sets high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him.
What's he look like? Finally.
It's, maybe not what you'd expect after that wind.
Ooh.
Black face, short hair, a long snout, and big ears.
A snout like a pig.
Kinda, yeah. And he's wearing this odd-colored robe, like greenish-bluish, and a floral handkerchief tied somewhere.
Huh. Specific. What's Wukong think?
His reaction is just Panu, which is like, oh, this is the guy, so this is what we're dealing with.
Almost.
Amused.
Underwhelmed, maybe, after the crazy wind?
Perhaps. So, instead of attacking, Wukong, still disguised as the daughter, remember, flops onto the bed and pretends to be sick, moaning and groaning.
He's really committing to the role.
Totally. And the monster buys it completely, walks right up to the bed and tries to kiss him.
No way. What does Wukong do?
That's his moment. He grabs the monster's long snout, just flips him, throws him right off the bed. Come be.
Ouch. Serves him right. How does the monster react?
He's totally confused. He thinks the daughter is mad at him for being late getting back. He's like, why are you hitting me? Was I out too long?
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, is he? Despite the caution earlier.
Seems easily fooled by the disguise, at least. Wukong plays along, still acting like the daughter, saying something like, fine, fine, just get undressed and come to bed.
Leaving him on.
Exactly. And while the monster is taking off his weird greenish-blue robe,
yeah.
Wukong slips away, saying he needs to use the toilet. Watch out.
Buys himself some time. Smart move.
So the monster's undressed, looking around, like, where'd she go? Calls out for her to come to bed.
And Wukong, still hiding.
Yep. Calls back from the toilet area, says he needs to relieve himself first. But then he lets out this sigh. Pooh. Ooh. My fate is low. Or what rotten luck.
Why does he say that? Is he still acting?
Seems like it. Because it works. It prompts the monster to start talking. And this part is really unexpected.
What does he say?
He basically gives this whole speech defending himself. He lists all the hard work he's done for the Gao family. Sweeping floors, carrying firewood, digging fields, building walls.
Seriously, the monster is complaining about chores.
Pretty much. He's saying, look how much I've helped you guys. You were poor before I came. Now you have food and clothes, all thanks to my hard labor.
Wow. Okay, that adds a layer. He sees himself as, like, a provider.
It certainly seems that way. It's a fascinating glimpse into his perspective. He doesn't just see himself as a monster who grabbed a girl.
So how does Wukong use this?
Still in disguise, remember? Wukong spins this story. Says, well, my parents don't approve of us.
Playing on that insecurity.
Totally. They say you're ugly, you have no manners, nobody knows where you came from. Really twisting the knife.
And does the monster fall for that too?
Hook, line, and sinker. He wants to set the record straight. And get this, he just blurts out his whole backstory.
Just like that.
Just like that. He says he lives in Jua, Tuzing Mountain, Cloudstack Cave. His surname is Zhu, which means pig, because, well, the snout and ears.
Call it.
And his actual given name is Zhu Gangli. Pig strength bristle, something like that.
So Wukong got his name, his address,
yeah.
Everything, without even really trying.
Exactly. Wukong must be mentally doing a victory dance, right?
Uh-huh.
All that vital info just handed to him.
Incredible. So what's Wukong's next move now that he knows who he's dealing with?
He keeps the pressure on. Still acting as the daughter, he mentions, oh, by the way, my parents are planning to hire a Taoist master or sorcerer to come get rid of you.
Trying to scare him off.
Maybe testing his reaction. And Zhu Gangli, the monster, he just laughs. He gets really boastful.
Oh, what does he brag about?
He claims he knows all these powerful magic transformations. The Tassii. Says he's got a weapon of a nine-toothed rake.
A rake? Seriously.
Sounds mundane. But in this world, it's likely a powerful divine weapon. And he even name drops. Says he used to hang out with the Du Du Tatu, a major celestial demon-quelling deity.
Okay, so he does have some power and connections, or claims to. He's not just a farmhand monster.
Seems like it. He's full of confidence. Until Wukong plays his trump card.
Which is?
He casually mentions the name Hu Ti Twitch and Desheng.
The great sage, equal to heaven, Wukong's own title.
The very one. The one he earned causing chaos in heaven 500 years ago. A name that would strike fear into, well, pretty much any demon or lesser celestial being.
Does it work on Zhu Gangli?
Instantly.
Yeah.
All that bravado, gone. Poof. He's terrified. He says, Tu Su Jude, meaning, if that's who they're calling, I'm out of here. This marriage thing, it's off.
Wow. Just the name was enough.
And he even explains why he's scared. He mentions Wukong's old job title, Wushu, Bushamwen, Keeper of the Heavenly Horses, a really low-ranking post Wukong hated.
So Zhu Gangli knows Wukong's reputation, even from that minor role. He knows who Bi Ma Wen really is.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It shows just how famous or infamous Wukong became after his rampage in heaven. Even that lowly title carries weight, because everyone knows who held it.
So Zhu Gangli tries to bolt.
Yep. He makes a run for it, and that's when Wukong drops the disguise. Aid Shu reveals his true form.
The Monkey King in all his glory. How does Zhu Gangli take that?
The description says he sees bared fangs, blazing golden eyes, hairy face. Basically, like a living god of thunder.
Okay, yeah, I'd be scared too.
Zhu Gangli freaks out, tears off his clothes again, and Shu turns into a wild wind and escapes.
A whirlwind exit. Does Wukong let him go?
No way. Wukong grabs his iron staff, yells after him something like, "Where do you think you're going? I'll chase you to the edges of heaven or the depths of hell," and flies off in pursuit.
And that's where this part ends, with the chase on.
That's the cliffhanger, yeah. Wukong chasing the whirlwind that is Zhu Gangli.
Man, what a sequence. Wukong uses cleverness, disguise, gets the monster talking.
Yeah, and the monster turns out to be, well, more complex than expected. Hard worker, wants acceptance, but also boasts about his powers.
Until he hears Wukong's name, then pure fear.
Exactly. It highlights Wukong's strategic mind information first, then exploit the weakness. And the weakness here wasn't lack of power, but fear of a greater power, a known reputation.
It's fascinating how Zhu Gangli went from this imposing, windy arrival to bragging and then just running scared. It really shows his vulnerability, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. He might have power, he might have done work for the family, but he knows his place in the cosmic pecking order, you could say, and Wukong is way above him.
So Wukong's adaptability, his use of deception here, it was key, not just smashing things from the start.
Definitely. He learned everything he needed to know before the real fight even began.
Which leaves us with a great question, I think. What does this encounter tell you, the listener, about Zhu Gangli's real nature? He's clearly not just a monster.
Right. And knowing his fear of Wukong, how do you think Wukong will ultimately defeat him? It sets up the next stage beautifully.